Good morning. We are here on a chilly winter's morning on the Wednesday, the 3rd of July. I've got with me none other than Jack McLante. Good morning, morning, morning. How are you, Jack?
Good morning. I am good, thanks. How are you?
Sterk. Zoba strong.
You must just.
No, for sure. Sure. Well, there's lots to get into today. I mean, it's funny. We've got Nicolas Bauer, the author of this book, a former reporter on TV News, popping by a little bit later on, talk about Johannesburg. And Gauteng can't seem to get a provincial government together because the ANC and the DA are bickering over who deserves how many posts. And this is to be expected. And it's amazing how many people are like involved, you know, like they're really, really involved. So I ended up watching a little bit of this unfold last night. And, you know, sometimes I think that politicians, instead of helping things move along so that ordinary people like us can get on with our lives, I sometimes feel, unironically, that they are a hindrance to our happiness.
Yep.
That it would almost be better if we lived in a complete anarchy.
The fact of the matter is they don't live our lives. They don't live the way we do. They couldn't be bothered. Mm-hmm. And right now, I imagine there's a lot of ego, struggle comparisons, you know what I mean?
Big time.
My record as a struggle veteran.
Oh yeah, that's coming into it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it has to. It has to.
Definitely.
And then there's the white monopoly capital floating around somewhere in the background.
Well, the funniest thing is, right, I saw there's a huge amount of uproar and outrage this morning. Again, you know, you really should not be able to operate heavy machinery unless you have a license to operate that machinery. It's like you need a gun license to operate a gun.
Yeah.
And if you're going to use English on the internet, you need to have a basic comprehension test. I see people this morning, I don't know if you've noticed this, and it bears some reflection. People like Floyd Shivambu, Dalimpofu, the usual suspects. I mean, Dalimpofu, who once taught me about the definition of hate speech. I'd like to take the opportunity, Dali, to teach you about figures of speech. Mm. I'd like to teach you a little bit about irony, satire, sarcasm, metaphors, similes, the kind of stuff that I think we did in halfway through high school. We did that stuff. You know, for example, the reason they're all flustered this morning, and I think they're probably just looking for reasons. I think this is like that they're self-consciously frauds. In other words, that they know it's nonsense, but they need to hype up people even dumber than them. So Helen Ziller, in her talk yesterday with, you know, her and like the provincial leadership of the DA in Gauteng, Solim Simanga, they were busy sitting there talking about how they won't upset the balance of power in KZN, because they're unhappy about what's going on in Gauteng. So they won't, the term she used was, she said, they won't let the province go to the dogs. Mm. And now Dali and Floyd and a whole lot of other people are like, they called us dogs. Like, guys, it's a figure of speech. Saying you're letting something go to the dogs is a well-known, this is not some arcane thing like, no. Let's slip the dogs of war, you know, to use another dog example, or dog day. Mm. You know, the dog days are here.
Yeah, every dog has its day.
Every dog has its day. Every time you refer to a dog, it doesn't mean you are literally comparing people to dogs. And I can't believe I even have to sit here and explain, like, this is basic high school English comprehension.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, you're never going to get it. And I don't think you should be allowed to operate the internet on your phone if you don't have these skills, because it's just going to create a world. Clearly these people are in pain. They're in pain. They think they're being compared to dogs, which is absolutely not what's happened. I hope against hope that they are actually self-conscious frauds, that they're deliberately being deceitful and misleading.
I think they are.
But if they're not, then they must eventually get the pain that comes to them for just being dumb.
No, I actually don't think they're being dumb in this instance. They've been dumb about a couple of other things, but they're not being dumb in this instance. I think it's playing off the idea that, you know, apartheid 2.0 is on the way. Yeah. And you kind of have to feed that narrative if you want it to work. And I think that's what I suspect they're doing. I'm hoping they're not that dumb. I genuinely hope so.
All right, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, time will tell.
So in case you don't know what was going on yesterday, apparently the ANC in Gauteng, what they did is there are 11 posts altogether, right? There's the premier, which obviously goes to the ANC. They're the biggest party in Gauteng, but not by a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a small difference between the size of the ANC and the size of the DA in the province. So it's close. Anyway, the ANC under Panyaza Lesufi, who would be the premier, said, besides the premier, which we'll take, thank you very much, rightly so, there are 10 other positions. So they offered the DA 3.
Okay.
They're like, you get 3. And the DA is like, well, what happened to proportionality? You know, because if we're only a couple of seats less than you in the executive, in the provincial legislature, surely we should have, and according to Helen, her calculation is like 4.5 or 4.6 or 4.7. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
But she's like, we'll be happy to round that down to 4. Then you guys take 6. And what we'll do is we can both give up a seat to one of the smaller parties. Okay. But if we give up more than one seat between the two of us, then it's no longer proportional. Then we're not respecting the rights of and the decision of the voters in Gauteng, right?
Mm.
So the people in Gauteng have deliberately given a poisoned chalice to the ANC and DA. They're like, you've got to work together. This is what we want as the people of this province.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, we want a little bit of this and we want a little bit of that. And we want some sprinkling of this as well. That's the recipe we've chosen. So she's right. But now Panyaza was like, nah, we'll give them 3. We'll take 7 and we'll just quietly pretend nothing's going wrong. And I think they might have overplayed their hand because, you know, apparently Fikile Mbalula has been called in and, like, now they're reporting Panyaza to the headmaster. So I don't know. I mean, in Gauteng, you know, we haven't had a government for the last 5 or 6 years anyway.
Yeah, we really haven't.
So, like, do I look worried? I mean, I'm so used to potholes.
Yeah.
I've got like, my tires know when those potholes are coming now.
Yeah, and, you know, Joburg CBD is making its full change to South Africa's trash can. So
it is. In fact, the entire province of Gauteng is just one big trash heap.
Hey, I've driven all the way. The dogs.
You said we had dogs.
Ah.
See?
It's gone to the woof woofs.
This is the stupidity of what we're dealing with. So suppose you get what we pay for, right?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, rates are going up as well. Rates are going up. Mm-hmm. Electricity's going up. Rubbish removal, water, all of that stuff's going up. But we're getting less for our money.
Yep.
So lovely government.
And that whole 200 lovely. Rand extra that we have to pay if you're using prepaid electricity. Yep. Good luck with that. Ah, yeah.
Wasn't it a GNU that killed Mufasa, says Slippery Pickle? Never forgot. Yeah. I think it was. It was Wildebeest. That's, mm-hmm. that's a GNU.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the politics done and dusted for the morning. I don't have the appetite to talk about very much more than that. I'm sure you don't either.
Yeah. No, they're boring now.
What's happening with you? What's keeping you busy these days?
Hey, I keep coming across these crazy documentaries on Netflix. It's madness, bro.
What's this now? I don't know
what's going on.
You told us about the siblings that all had schizophrenia last week. The other day.
Yeah. So
I think you should stop watching these crazy shows. I think that might be part of the problem.
Do you know what, Gareth? I'm learning empathy. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out if I've got feelings or not.
All right. Go on.
So this guy, it starts off with this guy and he's making his way to college, right? As he's walking onto the campus, there's random people greeting him. Yo, how are you doing? I thought you weren't coming back. All of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it goes like completely against the person that he is. He's not really that popular. He's just a random dude.
Right.
Finally makes his way to the dorm. Some dude knocks on his door and he turns around and the guy says, yo, Eddie, I didn't think you were coming back. And the guy's like, I'm not Eddie. What are you talking about? So they both run. This is in the 80s, by the way. So they both run to...
This is a true story.
True story.
Okay.
So they run to a telephone booth for the kids in there. It's where we used to make phone calls back in the day. Anyway, so...
Gotta explain.
Yeah, they call the Eddie. And this Eddie guy says, yeah, no, I'm home. And they drive to Eddie's house. When they get there, Eddie is basically a mirror image of this other guy. His name is Alan, who was starting college at the time. And it turns out there were twins separated at birth. Naturally, the story makes the news. When the news story comes out, the third twin finds the newspaper and then calls the newspaper to say, there's three of them.
So they're triplets.
They're triplets, separated at birth. And by that point in time, they were 19 when they found each other. And then it goes into this whole rabbit hole where you find out that the adoption agency that placed them did so as a way to kick off their study. They were trying to figure out.
Okay, so they were the government.
Yeah.
Or
some
institution decided what we'll do is we'll track these three.
Yeah.
Put them in different families, mm-hmm. different socioeconomic backgrounds, different amounts of resources, different school areas, different parents, obviously. And then we'll see whether it's nature or nurture.
That's exactly it.
But they found each other.
They found each other.
Against all odds.
Yep. And it turns out there were multiple sets of twins that this was done to.
Right.
And it all ended the same way for all of them. They developed mental health issues at some point. The separation anxiety, because, I mean, you're born all together. And for a while, you're put together. You know that you have this human being that's the same size as you, kind of looks as the same as you.
Yeah.
And
it's like meeting your clone.
It's crazy.
How would that feel?
It is insane.
Bitcoin Boots says, I know what Jack's talking about. Didn't one of them commit self-annihilation?
Yes, sir.
So one of them killed himself?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Okay, well, how did that one grow up? Because we should avoid that.
Funny, interestingly enough, he grew up in the most well-off family.
So, well, what does that mean for privilege?
It means what it's always meant. Yeah, it actually means fuck all because
life's unfair. Wah. Right.
It actually depends on the character that you build within yourself, really. It's got nothing to do with how you were raised and all of this stuff. Like, it's so shocking to me that we still hear stories of people who grew up in the worst circumstances who ultimately make something of themselves.
Well, it's a lot like this very stupid argument that's going on social media at the moment too, around the qualifications of our politicians and our ministers. I mean, like, for example, it seems to really burn some people that some members of parliament and ministers have just a matric.
Okay.
But these same people will tell us you shouldn't discriminate against someone just because they have a matric.
Yeah, it's a success story. Come on.
Most of the most brilliant people I know only have a matric.
Mm.
Really, I personally know very few exemplary, extraordinary, huge, monstrous successes that are university graduates. Mm. And I know I'm not knocking education, and I'm certainly not saying that all our universities are a disaster, but a lot of them are close. And a lot of them are just churning out a bunch of very ordinary and overqualified people who have no streetwise abilities.
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes we forget that the guy who's selling stuff on the street, you know, the guy who's got like a spaza shop, the woman who's doing looking after other people's children for money, for example. We think those people, because they're unqualified, must also be unintelligent. Mm. And that's a completely wrong way to approach these things. So I don't think that it matters. And similarly, I think that if you grew up privileged, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to have a better life.
No.
There are plenty of poor people who are much more exemplary than a lot of the rich people I know. In fact, a lot of the rich people I know think they can get away with things and will try to, and they think the law doesn't apply to them, and they think that the world is very unfair and they're very entitled.
Yep.
And the poor people I know, well, the poorer people I know, tend to think that everything that happens to them, they've either earned or deserved. And I would rather go with the latter philosophy, because if you sit around blaming other people, and I had the fortune yesterday of talking to Robin Sharma, who's, of course, one of the world's most incredible gurus. You know, he's helping people to optimize themselves at every opportunity. He's written a ton of books. He's the guy who wrote that brilliant Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Mm-hmm. He's just recently finished a new book called The Eight Forms of Wealth, which is, I might have got that title slightly wrong. But
The Eight Forms of Wealth That Money Can't Buy.
There we go. Thank you. Basically, and I made notes the whole way through my interview with him yesterday. You'll be able to watch it next week, I think. He says the same thing. So this is very much on my mind at the moment. And it was really, really cool talking to him. So we'll share that with you as it comes up. Either way, up you get. Let's go. Let's rise and shine. We have much to discuss. And if you think your life is boring, who knows? You might have a twin somewhere.
Yeah, you might.
That you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
God, can you imagine that?
That would wow. blow my mind. It would be absolutely mind-blowing.
You think it's just me. I'm only child. You find out you have not only one, but two carbon copies of yourself walking around somewhere. Sure. I mean, for everybody to have called him Eddie, he must have looked exactly like him.
Exactly like him. Exactly. Sure. I mean, and you know, the entire story wasn't all doom and gloom. I mean, they ran a successful restaurant. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They partied it up. All three of them got married. They've got kids.
Right.
It wasn't all bad. And I think in 2024, for whatever reason, we speak in totalities. Like, yeah. it's no, that person is fucked up. It's like, yeah. no, what they did was fucked up. Like,
right.
we don't have to label an entire person's life over one thing that they did, right? In a similar way to how you were pointing out these politicians that only have matric. It's like, okay, sure. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that person couldn't make it into university.
Mm.
Isn't it impressive that they still made something of their lives to the
Absolutely.
Point that they are part of the government?
Well, that's more impressive.
It's more impressive.
Than if you were just given everything, you know?
I mean, yeah, so it's weird.
I love the story. I don't know if I'll watch the documentary, but I love the story. And again, there's this ongoing debate about nature and nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing that you have no say, like you don't have a say about at least half, probably more than half, but let's say at least half of who you are. Mm. It's got nothing to do with you.
Yep.
Like just for a minute, think about the stuff that upsets you on a day-to-day basis. I'm not athletic. I want blue eyes instead of brown eyes. I'd like my hair to be like this.
I'd like to be taller.
I like to be a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. I had a rabbit in the hat. Anyway, whatever it is that you want or that you think you want for yourself and the things you're proud of.
Yeah.
Like the things that you go, I'm proud of me because I look in the mirror and I think I'm good looking.
Mm.
That's not you, by the way. That's just absolutely accidental fuckings through history
yeah.
at precisely the right time.
Yep.
Your whiteness, your blackness,
mm-hmm.
your tallness, your shortness, your...
Your thickness, your thinness.
All of that stuff. It's not you. You had nothing to do with it. So to be proud of it or to hate yourself for it is dumb.
Yeah.
Those are nature things, not nurture things.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we've more or less figured out the genome,
yeah.
you know, we've now got, you can go and have these things done now and it's easy to do it because, thank God, computing power has gone up in leaps and bounds since Francis and Crick eventually deciphered DNA. But even so, you can go and have your entire genome written out for you. You can have the entire sequence of genes in every one of your chromosomes laid out like a roadmap before you still won't understand all of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still going to be junk DNA and certain things that switch on and off that we don't understand yet that produce proteins and change the way that you behave. You are being controlled by that, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So all these people who say to you, well, you know, I'm really proud to be a cisgender, white, heterosexual male. You had so little to do with that,
yeah.
motherfucker. Just like calm down.
You're just looking for extra labels.
Yeah, and
that's it.
And nobody's interested in it. Just it's boring. It's really dull.
Yeah.
So, okay, moving on swiftly from that.
Yes, sir.
There are a couple of things on the agenda that I wanted to get to this morning, but let's talk about you for a second, because you, I love that you are bringing me Candace Owens updates, because I haven't been watching a lot of her stuff lately. I kind of fell off the wagon when, you know, bless her, she's like saying Brigitte Macron is a man, and
I don't know. I still don't understand why you wouldn't believe. I mean, she presented the case to me. Like, if I was a judge, I would be like, okay, look, Brigitte Macron, can you please produce any form of evidence to prove this one is wrong?
Pull your pants down.
Yeah, just pull your pants down. I mean, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it's
okay. Anyway,
it's not that hard to disprove.
So I've kind of fallen off the Candace wagon, but tell me what I'm missing.
So yesterday, well, she restarted her own channel, after her separation with the Daily Wire, which is great. So, she's good. Back. So yesterday she was talking about, the religion of trust the science, and she's decided to leave that religion because she is fully Catholic now, and she's not going to, step in toe as far as following the science is concerned. So she brought up the fact that a couple of women had developed ovarian cysts, that to get surgery, they'd get infections, they were in hospital for weeks and weeks and weeks, and ended up with being infertile as a result of the IUD. And the science said it's perfectly safe to put a foreign object in your body for years and years and years with no side effects. So that's one of the reasons she brought it up.
So is she saying that science is a religion?
She's saying that it's a constantly moving and evolving thing, and you can't just trust it at first glance. Okay, she actually played this clip of Andrew Tate, who's like, you can't bullshit me because I've just been around. I know how to use my mind. I've been around. I'm not just going to let you inject me with vaccines and all of this.
Can you imagine that the child that would be born if Andrew Tate and Candace Owens had a kid? It'd be like the most skeptical creature that ever walked the earth.
Yeah.
Science has mm-hmm. come under a lot of criticism, because obviously we were lied to and misled so much during COVID by people who were supposedly experts, right? And so people are justifiably a little skeptical, maybe a lot skeptical. Mm. And I would take the point of view of people who seem able to string sentences together fairly well and argue with passion. And that's something that you could say about Candace. You could say it about Andrew Tate. You could say it about a lot of people in the media.
Mm-hmm.
I would take those things seriously, but I would not just follow them blindly either.
Yeah.
And too often, like, I see people willing to throw the baby out of the bathwater. Mm. So, and you can't now suddenly start questioning things like gravity, which is...
Come on.
And you don't believe in it?
No. You shouldn't be
questioning it. Doesn't matter if you don't believe in it, because it happens. You can jump out of a high building and you will not go up. You will go down.
Yeah.
We don't need to constantly question the fundamentals of the physical nature and the environment that we live in.
Yeah.
We don't need to be like these conspiracy theorists who go back to first principles where we don't have to. I mean, it is a fact that time moves forward, right? It is a fact that gravity pulls things towards the center of the earth.
Yeah.
It is a fact that there are positive and negative charges that produce most of the chemistry, both in our bodies and outside of our bodies. That we know what hot is, we know what cold is. We don't have to start going back and reevaluating all of these things because they might be untrue. And if there are people who are doing that, they're probably the ones you should listen to anyway at the absolute pinnacle of science, and a lot of it is theoretical.
Yeah.
But in our experience as human beings, a lot of this stuff is now in the logbook, and we operate based on the fact that those are facts.
Yeah, in fact.
Right. So, it's hard to draw this line, because people like Candace Owens, again, God bless her, she does say some very, very interesting and insightful things. And I'm not going to disregard her as a nutcase, which is the tendency a lot of people have. But she makes a couple of good points, and she makes some absolutely stupid points.
Just like most human beings.
Right.
So I'm all right with it. I think the best way to deal with people that are into conspiracy theories and whatnot is how Joe Rogan, Eric Weinstein, and Terrence Howard sat down for a chat. I think that's the best way to get through it.
Imagine that.
They actually did it. It's a four-hour-long podcast. I got through about 30 minutes of it before my head nearly exploded. So I think it'll be interesting. Like, I'm going to take the time to watch that podcast because I think it's fantastic when we see multiple displays of people who don't see things the same way, still be respectful with one another and get their point across. So, you know, what Candace was talking about as far as not trusting the science or whatnot, I think a touch of skepticism is good for everybody. I didn't completely agree with all that she said, but, you know, I'm a fan. I'm not sure if I can be impartial when it comes to her.
All right.
Love her.
Cool. I don't know if you've been watching what's been happening in France. That's quite interesting too. Yeah. Marine Le Pen is out in front. And Emmanuel Macron is the leader of the third largest party now. So he has had an absolute fall from grace, which is clearly the French people saying, enough of you. You're out.
Mm.
He's now trying to get into bed with the second biggest party, which is the communists. Good luck with that, because that will just mean you piss the French people off even more and they'll vote even harder for even more right-wing parties. And by the way, I see people, I mentioned this on Twitter last night, I see every other media organization, I see lots of reporters, supposedly well-known and well-placed people in the media saying the far-right party of Marine Le Pen. You know, they're about as far right as, I mean, it's hard to even figure out what kind of metaphor to use here, because there hasn't been anything right of the center in France since Charles de Gaulle.
Mm.
I mean, we're talking almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's quite some time.
You know, I don't think that people completely understand just how tiny a step to the right this is. It's not a major leap to the right. And we're being sold a bill of goods here by people who just don't have a good frame of reference. Like, they don't know how to calibrate their own political point of view. And so everything to the right of them must be far right, and everything to the left of them must be far left.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an enormous space between far left and far right, and they're willing to just throw away everything up to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is happening among supposedly smart people in the media. So don't believe it. And frankly, if you see the term far right used to describe Marine Le Pen and you actually don't know anything about her policies, I'll tell you what you can do based on that information. You can unfollow whoever that media source is, because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yep.
That's just a kind of a simplification, a way for you to make your morning a little more pleasant.
You know, I'm actually starting to wonder now, like, we're going to eventually turn into researchers, whether we like it or not. Like,
we all have to, right?
Like, yeah. There's not a single news outlet that you can trust will give you just the news without some sort of narrative in the background. It's madness.
I mean, Congo Chris says, the pendulum is starting to swing. People aren't buying media bullshit. And they're far right dog whistling and fear mongering anymore. Absolutely.
There's that dog again.
I had an argument yesterday with a very well known publication's chief editor in private, so I won't mention them because I don't think it's fair to do that. But there was a story about an Afghan man who stabbed a bus driver in Sweden because the bus driver said, ticket please.
And the guy didn't have his money.
I'm going to stab you rather. Because that's what someone from Afghanistan, which is a savage place filled with rocks and war and hate, that's what he's used to in his country.
Hmm?
You get asked for the ticket, you don't have the ticket, you have to stab someone because it's the only way you get off the bus.
Madness.
Right? And in Sweden, they don't really like that. So, I mean, I'm only laughing because it's such an outrageous clash of cultures.
Yeah,
not because I think it's funny that someone was stabbed. Anyway, I posted the story. Turns out the story is true, but that the media business that reported on the story is, in the words of this editor, suspect. So it doesn't bother him that a person was stabbed in Sweden by an immigrant who doesn't know that you pay for things and you don't get things for free. And if you can't get them for free, you don't stab people.
No.
Okay, he's not bothered about that. He's bothered about the reputation of the news organization that reported the story. That bothers him more. Mm. So you see, it's all just completely designed to spoil any trust we have in the media. I mean, here I am talking to a person who in this country is in charge of a major publication, and this is what bothers him? It's like, that's not a credible news organization. Not the story. Mm-mm. Not that it's true. That comes in like third or fourth in his list of priorities. So it's no wonder we don't trust them anymore.
Yeah.
I had an interview yesterday with Alec Hogg from Biz News, who interviewed me about the changes in the media, the changes in politics in this country, a whole bunch of other stuff. Had a really nice conversation with Alec, and he asked, you know, who are the mainstream media now? Because they don't have the credibility that they had once more. People aren't following them in the way that they used to, the legacy publications and outlets and media corporations. No one believes them anymore. So where do you go? Well, you follow Jack Motlanthe, for example.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You've heard enough of his point of view to believe that he is a trusted source. And if he gets it wrong occasionally, you'll forgive him because he's not out there telling everybody that if you don't believe him, you must be wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And the same goes for people like Candace Owens, frankly, Andrew Tate, Piers Morgan,
There's a whole long
list. So many all over the world that I follow on a day-to-day basis that, you know, if you're here watching us, it's because you trust us, hopefully.
Yeah.
Or you find us hilarious. Or you think we're so untrustworthy that we're hilarious.
Yeah.
But whatever your reason is, we're glad to have you on board.
Yes, sir.
Keep it coming. We'll keep doing what we do for you. That was kind of the basis of what I talked to Alec Hogg about yesterday. I see here, Percy says, Joe Rogan, Terrence Howard, Eric Weinstein, 3.4 million views in 24 hours.
You see, am not surprised.
That's who people are listening to.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Who people are paying attention to, not the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all these other publications that have proven that they can't be trusted.
Yeah. And I mean, they did it to themselves. Let's not sit here and act like society just decided, you know what, we're not going to watch the news anymore. We're not going to read newspaper. No. These guys did it themselves. Like, you steadily pushed us out of your circle of influence.
Yeah, you can't now complain.
You can't.
If you're running a media business and you're now upset that no one's taking you seriously anymore, but you've done this to yourself.
Ah.
Cry me a river.
Hey.
Maki Mumalo says, you follow Tucker Carlson? I do.
Mm.
He did the most amazing thing in Australia.
In Australia, that was amazing.
You watch it?
Yes.
So if you haven't seen it, you can look it up after we're done with the show this morning and kind of have it going in the background because he spoke for like an hour or three.
Yeah.
It was a long time. Answered a bunch of questions. And a journalist, again, in inverted commas, from an inverted commas serious publication.
She's not a journalist.
Asked him about, you know, guns, gun control, gun violence, tried to tie him in and blame him for a shooting incident that happened in Australia 2 years ago. And he's like, how dare you? He's like, I thought you were maybe pretending to be stupid, but now I realize you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what is being discovered day by day. And you know, I see lots of people here saying, Nikki, for example, don't trust anything mainstream media. They're liars and puppets. And they're in the New World Order. Okay, I don't know a New World Order, but I the first part of what you say I completely agree with.
Yeah.
I hear Gareth about following blindly, says Sanele, Andrew Tate's brother Tristan, love what he's got to say most times. Could even say he's less diabolical than Andrew Tate, but the guy thinks there's a genocide in South Africa.
Hey man, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Like, I mean, it's about looking at what is in front of you and being present enough to understand what is the truth and what isn't. Like that question that woman asked Tucker, it was loaded from
Yeah.
The moment she opened her mouth, she
had an agenda, talking points. Agenda.
She was like, okay, yeah, look, right. I'm going to prove that this guy's actually racist. Meanwhile, she was the racist one in the room.
Mm.
I was like, amen. And if we need to, I am not surprised that people don't follow these so-called journalists or these publications.
No.
Because it is infuriating, because you're sitting there trying to figure out exactly what happened. In the meantime, you're told about race or the gender, whatever, and they throw all of these weird narratives into the story. And it's like, guys, just remove all the fat. Let's just get straight to it.
Jared says in the comments, let's just be clear, no one is watching Joe Rogan for news. They're watching him for crazy Terrence Howard and washed out comedians.
Okay.
Maybe. But where do you go for news, Jared? Tell us what you... Because it's often, I mean, like, it's interesting. It tells you a little bit about someone when they tell you who their sources are in news. I mean, let's just look at this Joe Biden situation post the debate, which was such a disaster. Like, we did, you know, last week when we did this show, the debate hadn't happened yet, and we haven't really discussed it. But I don't want to go into, like, how old Joe Biden was or how forgetful or how useless and how badly he lost the debate by. What I want to talk about is the fact that if he is as bad as we all saw him to be, and as many of us have been saying for years.
It's been at least 3 years.
Okay. We've been saying that for years, and everybody's like, no, it's not that bad. People in the media, Joe Scarborough saying just the other day, oh, Joe is as sharp as a tack. He can basically do flick flex. He can solve algebraic equations. And he's so wide awake and so sharp and so brilliant that he's more than capable of solving all the world's problems in his sleep, right? It's morally, I'm paraphrasing naturally, but that's what he was saying just the other day. These guys have been lying. Now, part of what you see in the wake of this, and it has to do with this media discussion we're having now, is suddenly you see a whole lot of these media people saying, wow, Joe's really out of it. We need to replace him. He's a bad candidate and he can't be president anymore.
Yep.
But they're the ones who've been telling us everything's okay for the last while. So they've been part of the lie. What they're trying to do now is show you, oh, no, we're still credible. We've been lying to you, but look, we're still credible. You could believe us. We're trustworthy. We've done nothing but lie to you, but we weren't in on that. Because now, of course, they can't lie anymore. We all saw what we saw on Thursday last week. We all witnessed firsthand without any need for a filter or a media person to explain this to us, how the president, the man in the office of president of the United States right now, is a cadaver and who has no lucid thoughts going in one ear and out the other. He is a complete senile bag of hammers at the moment.
Yeah, and he wants to tackle what did he say right at the end when Trump was like, I don't even know what you were trying to say. He was talking about
who knows
tackling Medicare or something.
Who knows? The fact is, these media people have been part of the lie.
Yeah.
So now we don't believe them anymore, and they can't go back now and try to reclaim credibility that they have permanently lost.
Mm-hmm.
So when they talk now about how, oh, well, Joe Biden's clearly, you know, he's, and they were all having a meltdown on Friday morning here.
CNN
Thursday night.
Was a
disaster.
Oh, I laughed my head off.
You know what? It's like what we've been saying for the longest time. So it is an I told you so moment. But if I were an American, the thing that would worry me the most is that we've had this person as a patsy.
Mm.
In the Oval Office for at least 3 years, where he hasn't made the decisions.
No.
He hasn't been in charge. So who is? So Americans have had, you know, for all their talk of insurrections and defending democracy, the Democrats better answer who's actually been running the government? Who's actually had the nuclear football at their disposal? Who's actually been making policy? Who's been deciding this is how we'll respond here, that's how we'll respond? It's clearly not Joe. So for the last, let's be generous, at least the last 2 years, there are other unelected people who the American people do not know the names and faces of who have been running the government. That should scare the bejesus out of everybody.
Yep.
Because the most powerful country in the world, and they still are by a long way, has been run by people who none of us can name. We don't know. And neither does Putin or Xi or Rishi Sunak, they don't know who they're dealing with because they sit with Joe Biden, but that's like addressing the monkey instead of the organ grinder. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not a reference to monkeys for those people who are stupid enough not to know a figure of speech, right? They've been talking to the monkey instead of the organ grinder.
Yep.
Guys, this would, if you're an American and this doesn't bother you, that the commander-in-chief of the military, forget all the other things he has to do, the guy who issues direct orders to the chiefs of staff in the military, yep, and who is the ultimate arbiter of what American foreign policy should be, where wars are started and ended. And by the way, this guy has started two wars.
Mm.
So if it wasn't him, who was the person who pressed go on two wars?
Who? Hey, it could be, look, I've heard a couple of ramblings that, you know, Barack Obama is somewhere there in the background doing things.
Well, then he's having a third and fourth term, yes, which he shouldn't have.
He shouldn't. And for whatever reason, as you said, we need to place the blame firmly at the Democratic Party's feet to say, why did you guys think this was a good idea to start with? And honestly, why would you put that man out there,
oh my God,
to run for a second term, whereas everyone says,
because, you know what, they thought they could keep hoodwinking us and gaslighting us, and that the people of the world are so dumb, and especially Americans are so dumb. We could just paper over the cracks here. We'll keep this man Weekend at Bernie's propped up. And the unelected people who've been running things anyway for the last 3 years, we'll just carry on doing that. Don't worry about it, you know?
Madness.
Yeah,
madness.
So a couple of comments here that I think are quite useful to take in. Jethro says, I tried watching CNN, Sky News, BBC News yesterday. Every single channel's pumping out climate disasters nonstop. Wildfires, flooding, heat waves, hurricanes, droughts. It's so obviously a narrative. Yeah, we're not buying that anymore either.
Yeah.
You know, Bjorn Lomborg, that's all I'll say to you. Just go, if you want to find someone who actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to climate and the hoax that is being perpetuated in the mainstream media about how the world's going to end by September.
Mm-hmm.
Nonsense.
Come on.
Read more.
Yes,
inform
sir.
Yourself and don't panic. The media is in the business of panicking. I've just had enough. Like, here are a couple of things that you need to know this morning, right? We are always going to have an effect on the climate. Nobody is dumb enough to deny that. We're pumping all kinds of shit into the atmosphere.
Yep.
We're polluting our rivers. This country is a trash heap, like we said earlier, because we don't tidy up after ourselves. Everywhere looks like a dump. We know that we have an effect on the climate. But the climate is going to auto-correct in this way or that way because it's not all up to us. We can have an effect, and we are, and it's probably a detrimental effect. But the planet will be here even if we go extinct, and it'll sort itself out. And
I think that's more likely, that we go extinct before anything happens to this planet.
And Jack, the cycles that are going on are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of year old cycles.
Yeah.
Of cold and hot.
Yep.
And carbon dioxide up and carbon dioxide down. And
we've
none
had
of these,
ice ages.
None of these people like Greta Thunberg, because she's not an expert in any way, shape, or form, can tell you any detail here. I say again,
no.
Go and read Bjorn Lomborg. He's not running for office. He's not trying to convince anyone. He's accumulated some amazing evidence, which is worth, just Google him and you'll find incredible stuff that will help you recalibrate, just like the people who don't know far right from
far left
center.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help you recalibrate the world so you don't lie there in bed at night going, oh my God, the world's going to end.
Yep.
And setting your fight or flight mechanism off every 5 minutes. Don't believe this stuff. And don't believe that there was an insurrection on January the 6th, when the real insurrection appears to be installing an old man as a puppet while some unelected people are running things and starting wars without the consent of the American people. I think that's a bigger problem.
It is. Much, much, much bigger. And it's not lost on me that the people that are pushing this whole climate change narrative have got beach houses.
Oh, by the way, we've got a poll up at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
We'll come back, but you're exactly right.
Like, if climate change was actually a real thing.
Right.
Leo DiCaprio, why do you have a beach house?
And by the way, in Malibu, which is like right on the beach.
It's like, why would you do that? Why would you? Wouldn't that be counterproductive?
In a state where there's the San Andreas Fault and they've been promising an earthquake that will basically split the whole state of California since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
They even made a movie out of it.
Oh, yeah. And a couple of really bad B-grade movies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And here we are, still waiting, still.
Louis says, in response to your poll, I get my news from all those sources and do some of my own research. If I'm interested enough, then I will end up making my own conclusions based on all the info available, which is the best you can do, right?
Yep.
Lito says, check out the interview between Tucker Carlson and Bukele of El Salvador.
That's
I will, because I find there are two leaders in the world that I'm really, really interested in right now that are new. Mm-hmm. The one being Milei in Argentina.
Yep.
The other one being Bukele in El Salvador. I mean, these guys are just not your standard garden variety presidents.
Yeah.
You know,
the tail is not wagging the dog.
Yeah. I'd like to see what happens. Mm. Percy says, Gareth's starting to believe. It's not that I'm starting to believe or that I was right all along or that you were right all along or any of that stuff. It's just what I'm struggling to deal with is that there are still people who think they can bullshit us. In an age of the, you know, we have the internet, guys. Like, this stuff might have worked when the Manchurian candidate was a possibility.
Yeah.
Right? And everyone who said, oh, Joe Biden is senile, all those people now are like, duh, look, we told you.
We've seen old men before.
But like, they thought they could bullshit us. And for a while they did. A lot of dumb people were carried along.
Yeah.
So Pumlani says, I'm more worried about the Yellowstone supervolcano than I'm about global warming. And there's another one that
love it,
they've made some bad B-grade movies about, right?
Love it. I mean,
they did tell us, you know, I remember Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth. He told us that by now the whole of Florida would be underwater. I mean, like, yes. Miami was just a thing of the past.
Yes.
Venice would be finished. The Maldives are supposed to have gone by now as well, according to that documentary. Go watch it.
Mm.
I mean, it's like, it is basic fear. It's like, we're going to make you afraid.
Yep.
And you don't have to be afraid. I've said it a million times. This is the best time to be alive. Please believe me that your problems, as horrible as they may be this morning, that there's a positive spin on this, so just stick with me, all right? As bad as things might be for you this morning, you've had a huge argument with your husband or wife, you feel like death because you've got the swine flu, your bank account is empty, whatever is going on in your life, please believe me that you have a better life now than a king did 400 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just like it's the small things, like being able to wash your genitals under running warm water. Okay?
Damn it, you couldn't take a shower. They couldn't do that 50 years ago.
Jesus.
If you took a shower.
Mapelo says, trust the blacks to keep our species going. Well, yes. I mean, thank God in Africa, we still have a positive birth rate.
Yeah.
So yes, the blacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Right?
Now all we need is Dr. Umar Johnson in the background saying, that's where life began in the first place. It's like, shut up.
My favorite, says Bitcoin Boot, was Bukele gathering all his ministers and telling them in public they're all being investigated for corruption.
Now that is a leader.
I love that.
That is an actual leader. That. Not someone parading around trying to get people to like him or, you know, call him a messiah or whatever. He's just doing his job. And it's so insane to me that we have to now champion competence. Because seemingly we've been lied to so much. We've been misled so much. We've been told the things that we're looking at aren't the things that we're looking at. That someone just doing their job makes world news. It's crazy.
You know, I saw a really interesting clip the other day. I think I might have mentioned it on Friday's show of an American football wife who basically admitted during an interview that she'd manipulated her husband. I think you know the story, right? And the point that I took from that, and it's a valuable thing in this discussion too, I think. Feel free. And by the way, the comment section is always rife with disagreement.
Yeah.
So bring it on, hey. If you're not a subscriber and you don't already watch us on YouTube, that's the best place to drop a comment. Let us know what's on your mind. You might completely disagree with me. You might think Jack and I are full of shit and that we've eaten our socks or we're smoking something very strong first thing in the morning on a Wednesday. But bring it. I mean, like, we want to hear from you. Mm. The one thing we don't want to do is cancel anybody and stop them from having an opinion, even if it's an opinion which we think is stupid. But that woman who went on and spoke about manipulating her husband, people really don't like being manipulated. Mm-hmm. And they really don't like it when they find out that you have been trying to manipulate them. If you want to take someone who likes you or could like you and immediately turn them against you, manipulate them and let them find out you're manipulating them. You take a huge risk there. And this goes for relationships. It goes for business. It goes for media. It goes for news. It goes for all of that stuff. Mm. If people find out that you've been trying to manipulate them, they don't just turn against you and dislike you. They hate you.
Yep.
They will hate you forever. Mm-hmm. And this is the price. Like, I'm going to say it so we can be absolutely clear about this. If you're going to manipulate someone and they catch you, they will hate you for the rest of your life.
As they should.
And they will never trust you again. So this is what we're seeing now. Is the polls are showing in every single survey they've done in America, in Europe, in South Africa, in Russia, in China, in India, wherever people have been asked about the media, they say, by and large, they just don't trust them. They would rather follow the person with like 50 followers on X, you know?
Yep.
Because they could trust them.
Yep.
Once you break that trust, it's done. You're done for.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's like I saw this quote many years ago that trust is like a mirror. Sure, you can fix it if it's broken, but you'll always see the cracks in that motherfucker.
That's a very always. Good. Again, a metaphor, right?
Like, yeah.
Great metaphor. Just make sure you know that we're not saying you are a mirror.
Yeah, or a broken one.
Gotta explain this stuff to some of those guys in the EFF.
You do. You
or
do.
Else let them know that we understand it, even
Here's
if
the
they
problem,
pretend.
Gareth. I don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah, I couldn't agree more. All right, so here's some interesting news. Apparently, Jamie Foxx hasn't publicly disclosed what caused his hospitalization last year.
What the hell is that about?
Well, he's shared some details during an encounter that was captured on video. Apparently, he was hospitalized in 2023, for those who don't remember, for a health crisis. He was filming the Back in Action film in Atlanta. In a video posted to TikTok this week, he tells an unidentified group of people that he had a bad headache on April the 11th. He recalls asking his friend for an Advil and then he was gone for 20 days. Hmm. I don't remember anything, he said in the video recorded in Phoenix on June the 29th. That's just the other day. He went on to explain in the footage he was told his sister and his daughter took him to a doctor who gave him a cortisone shot. Another doctor told him, something was going on up there, pointing to his head. I won't say it on camera, he said in the footage. The star is known to be guarded about his private life. He disappeared from the limelight at the time and was then it was his daughter, Corinne Fox, who referred to it as a medical complication on social media. So it's all very mysterious.
It's so weird. Like this entire story is weird to me because Jamie fell ill. And no one said what was going on, like nobody. And I'm not like a celebrity headline chaser or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to introduce a story to the public, why not find out all the information before you give it to us? Because, I mean, saying that he's ill is like, okay, sure, he's ill. And then all of a sudden, a couple of months later, he's back on his feet and he's out and about and walking around
all,
and all of this.
It's like very weird.
At some point, there was the theory that he had been cloned. Like it's not the real Jamie Foxx that we're looking at and all of this other shit. And it's like, guys, it's really simple. Whatever's wrong with the man, whatever he was hospitalized for, just tell us what it is and let us get over it. Now you've got this whole dog and pony show where we have to run around looking for clues and whatnot. It's like a scavenger hunt of some sort to try figure out what is wrong with Jamie Foxx. Let me tell you the truth. No one actually cares, right? So tell us the truth or let's just move on from it. Honestly, I'm over it. I am genuinely over the story. It's like, what are we going to find out? Like, he got some strange disease no one's heard of. But it's on the flip side of that coin, clearly you found the cure for it because he's fine now. So why should we care?
We're no closer to the truth. But, I mean, there's also, frankly, his health problems are his health problems, and we don't really have any right to know what they are.
Sure.
But if he is going to share any of that stuff, it might help us to figure out what happened so that the rest of us can be,
you know what I mean,
clear of that. You know, I whatever it is, it scares the hell out of me that he was down and out for like 20 days and doesn't remember a thing. That's very weird. So, you know, just tell me it's a worm or a virus, or tell me it's something he took.
Yeah.
Then at least I know what the hell's going on.
Let's keep it pushing. Let's keep it pushing. And I think it's hilarious. It's hilarious that when he got ill, they had just released a movie called They Clone Tyrone, and Jamie is in the movie.
Yeah. Right.
The timing was perfect.
Exactly.
It could possibly have been a marketing plan. Who knows? I wouldn't put it past these Hollywood people. It could be.
Did you hear, just to quickly dip back into politics, because we only got 3 minutes before seven, but did you hear that the MK party asked Parliament to pay all the MPs' salaries into one account? All 58 MPs that they have seats for.
No.
Yeah, yeah, they made some application. Again, I don't know if this is true. It's what I read this morning on my way in here. 58 of them.
Okay.
But pay it all into one account, and then the party will decide what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
How's that, hey? Can you imagine?
Eh?
You just know you're never going to get that money if you work for MK. Anyone who's on the MK list, just realize, like, you're not going to see any of that. If of course, Parliament has refused, according to the story I read, which would be right, but just imagine they take in all that money. You'll never see it again, right?
Gareth, kind of, who's that guy? There was a famous dude who had this major Ponzi scheme in the US. What's that guy? Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, so just again, for anyone there who thinks MK is a right-wing party, I mean, this is about as left-wing as you get. Like, this is socialism in practice. No, let the state take all your money and we'll just dish it out as we see fit. You know, can you imagine how
I
that
am
would
serious.
Go?
We were thinking people are walking around voting for Jacob Zuma, but it's Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, it's a Ponzi scheme.
I say put it all in that pot and let's see what happens. Man. Do you know what?
Amazing.
All of the people that were worried about the MK party, it turns out they might just be self-poisoning at this point.
Sure.
All of us might just need to just sit back and watch from the outside and they'll get rid of themselves. I love it.
Might be.
I love it.
And then I saw Bill Maher this morning, who's also having a bit of an awakening, despite being a bit of a lefty. And I've always liked Bill despite that. I've always thought he was smart and made an interesting point about so many things that I hadn't thought of. He says this morning on X, I see that it's Hunter Biden who's foremost in urging his father to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And when has he ever made a bad decision? the your coke-addled son. Who threw a firearm into a rubbish can
that
at a
beat.
School. And who made a child with a stripper and then refused to acknowledge the child. Like a deadbeat dad as well. Add that to his list of really great qualities. Yeah, trust that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He's the one to take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you trust the cokehead in your family? Don't you trust that guy who's sitting on the street... This Kotane with his nyaupe addiction. Yeah. He's the one to trust, right?
Yeah.
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 Beautiful. Go ahead.
You need to treat them like kids. If you can hear them, you know exactly where they are. That's enough. It's fantastic.
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 So much of fun. Wow. We've turned over a lot of rocks this morning. It's only 7 o'clock. We got a whole other hour coming at you. Among other things, we'll be talking to Nicholas Bauer about his book, Great Johannesburg, What Happened? How to Save an African Economic Giant. So we'll find out what he's got to tell us about how he thinks we could fix this place. All of that and more on the way. Jack Motlanthe and I keeping you company all the way through the morning.